You're listening to the Body Pros podcast coverage of IAS 2007, the fourth International AIDS Society conference on HIV pathogenesis, treatment, and prevention. Sydney, Australia, July 22nd through July 25th, 2007.
Welcome. This is Bonnie Goldman, editorial director of the Body Pro. And I'm in Sydney, Australia at IAS 2007, one of the year's major HIV conferences. Right now, I'm in the poster session where researchers are standing in front of their posters. There's nothing like hearing the results of research directly from those who actually conducted the research. It is these men and women who are transforming HIV treatment and care. In this podcast, the researchers will introduce themselves and then summarize their study. I will ask a few questions after their summary. I'm here in Sydney, Australia at IAS 2007 with Pietro Vernazza, physician at Cantonal Hospital in St. Gallen, Switzerland. And he's going to talk a little bit about his poster, which is very interesting. Dr. Vernazza, could you tell me a little bit about why you decided to do this poster?
Yes, we have been involved the past 10 years in insemination with processed semen for couples who wanted to conceive a child. Now, we also have studied, together with colleagues in the United States, the risk of transmission as a function of HIV viral load in semen. And what I realized from 2000 onwards, all these couples that came in for treatment were very selected couples where the male partner was on a fully suppressive treatment. And when we measured HIV in their semen, it was not existent. We couldn't find it. So I knew the risk of a transmission is very, very low. Now, when we sent them then to the infertility clinic, this is a procedure that is quite time-consuming. It's also costly. And I started to ask myself whether this process is actually ethically correct. Then, in addition, I talked to Enrico Semprini, who was the first who started with the insemination.
Is this in Italy?
This is in Milan. And he followed about one-third of the women who came for the first consultation but never show up for an insemination. And within Europe, all the centers have about one-third no-shows that just don't follow up. And Semprini followed them up. And among the 500 couples, 250 are parents now. So we realized we are giving a treatment for two-thirds of the couples. About one-third or 40% will get a baby, but the rest will do it by themselves. So we were sort of accepting that a major group of these clinics and also outside of the program were taking the risk and have unprotected sex. So we thought, it's okay, the risk is very, very low. It's probably in the range of 1 in 100,000 or 1 in 1,000,000. That's about the risk that you take when you mount an airplane. So we thought, could we help these couples to reduce this even very, very little risk? And it's like wearing a seatbelt. We give them an additional safety. The additional safety is that we teach them just to have sex at the right time when ovulation is happening with a urine test. Second thing, we make sure they don't have some asymptomatic chlamydia or sexually transmitted diseases because that increases the risk of transmission. And then we make sure they are really stable under a suppressive heart. And the fourth point, which is probably the most important, we give a pre-exposure prophylaxis to the woman prior to the sexual contact, unprotected sexual act to conceive the baby. So we give them two doses of tenofovir at the time when the urine test is positive the next day, and then same evening they have sex. And interestingly, the pregnancy rate in these couples is exceedingly high. It's up after three unprotected acts, it's more than 50%, and then it goes to a maximum, to a plateau, around 70 to 75%. And I felt that is very interesting. It's certainly better than with the insemination practice where we reach 40%. So I felt we should let people know about this experience.
Mm-hmm. So I guess I have a few questions. Why did you choose tenofovir And when I think the latest studies, at least with I think it was chimpanzees, showed FTC and tenofovir was better or seemed to be a better prevention. And then the second question is why two doses and not more, like for a week? So it's just because I know there's 2 days of ovulation, but it gives them more freedom.
Okay. Tenofovir has the advantage of a very, very long intracellular half-life. That is about a week. So it is taken up 1 and 2 days, and then it remains there at the place of action within the cells for a week. So that covers the risk period completely. The question I have been asked at the poster discussion is, why do you give it at all, since the risk is so low? And I think that is probably the more relevant question. And I think we give it, I mean, to give a sort of psychological additional argument. But I agree, it's really a theoretically minuscule risk, and it's probably psychological. That would be the reason why I wouldn't go directly to a combination with FTC. But if you want to be more safe, safer than safe, that's fine.
Uh-huh. I see. So because we don't actually know in these couples whether the tenofovir did help at all. I mean, there's no way of...
Of course.
Teasing that out.
Right. We'll never find out.
Uh-huh. So how many couples did you do this with?
The ones that I reported here are 22 couples. I also have now collaboration with other clinics in Austria, in Munich, in London, and they are reporting that. We're trying to get together a group of 35 or 40 couples, but it will never prove that there is no risk, because to prove that there is no risk is almost impossible, since we don't see any transmission from individuals with fully suppressed virus to the steady partner. There has been not a single case report worldwide.
Right. But there haven't been any studies. So, I mean...
That's right. But we know in the Swiss HIV cohort that approximately 150 to 200 couples have always unprotected sex with fully suppressed virus, and they don't transmit.
In the Swiss cohort.
Yes. Okay. And I'm sure it's the case with many, many other people. They just have sex. So we see many new cases of HIV infection, but none of these new cases is associated with a sexual exposure to a partner with fully suppressed heart.
Mm-hmm. I see. So you had some illustrations in your poster. Can you describe some of them? Because we're going to have this up with your talk. So
the first illustration is a little bit the technique that was developed by Semprini, where there is a two-step technique with a density gradient, where the larger cells were... The lymphocytes remain in the upper gradient after centrifugation, and then you collect the motile sperm in the pellet. You do a second procedure where you have a swim up, where the sperm swim against gravity, and then you remove the upper layer, and that is used for the procedure. Now, through all this procedure, you get about 1% of the motile sperm, which also explains a little bit why the method isn't working as good as natural conception. There are also other reasons.
Right. Is this what we call sperm washing?
That is sperm washing. Now, in the other graph, I showed the number of cycles and the number of couples. So all the couples started with the first cycle, and 20% were pregnant, or women got pregnant after one exposure or sexual contact. Then after three, it's 50%, and it amounts to the plateau of about 70 to 75%. And then even after repeated exposures, you see that these couples very rarely get pregnant. So it would mean probably that these have other fertility issues, mm-hmm, that also need to be addressed. And I think it's important, all the fertility clinics in Europe that have now gained experience with HIV-positive individuals, that they actually can also help them. I think there is still a role for fertility clinics to treat HIV discordant couples. But for the majority of couples who just want to conceive a child, the natural way is much simpler.
Uh-huh. And I guess a question related to this is the stigma. in Europe. I know in the United States, a lot of fertility clinics do not want to publicly acknowledge that they help discordant couples. Is this similar in Europe, or is it more open?
I think it's more open, but there is still this stigma around. And there are still some people who think HIV-positive people or discordant couples should not have a child. It's sort of a belief, or I don't know, it may also have to do with punishment, that they are responsible for their disease and they should get punished. It's not the way how we think about people who smoke. It's very special for HIV, and I think we should try to work against this stigmatization.
Uh-huh. Well, I think you're definitely helping doing this with this study, and with, you know, explaining how couples do not need the help of necessarily of fertility clinics to have a baby.
Yeah, one interesting experience I made within the interviews with the couples, when I asked the couples, what do you think is the risk of transmission when you have sex tonight? Their estimate is in the range between 5 and 100%, a little bit higher for the woman than for the man. So we haven't really properly informed these couples about the very, very low risk
of unprotected sex when one partner who's positive is undetectable.
Exactly.
And the other
exactly. One. They still keep this high risk in their brain, and we haven't really openly talked about the changes of the risk of transmission, which we obviously observe. So I think it wasn't a favor to them, because we sent them to the infertility clinics. They had to go through all this trouble. But on the other hand, we know it's not necessary, but we don't tell them. So that, during these interviews, causes a lot of, you know, questions, and but why haven't I been told? And so, and it also helps when I can, you know, reassure the couple that this is not, The questions of sexual transmission risk is something that I have been involved for the past 15 years, and I've studied that and done research on that. Otherwise, it would probably be a little bit difficult. But within a few years, I'm sure that the knowledge will disseminate and it will change the habit of everybody.
So what's the reluctance, do you think? Because I know the United States... HIV specialists feel reluctant to say that. You know, I've heard them, you know, speak and say, well, you know, I know that the risk is minimal, but because I guess they're afraid to be responsible if a transmission occurs. So people are not saying it. And also, I guess the second question is, so this is the theoretical concern, and it's probably realistic. So if I'm negative and my partner is positive and he's undetectable, well, he was undetectable the last time he went to the doctor. There is a possibility that he was not adherent and there's some viral breakthrough, so that he becomes detectable. But I think he's still undetectable and he doesn't have to go to the doctor for another month. So
I think that's a very good point, and that's why I think this discussion about risk and behavior, how do we make conclusions for our sexual life, is something that belongs in a steady partnership. And the program that I'm talking here is about steady partnerships. It's not about just general. And if I'm living with a partner and she takes drugs for HIV, I know exactly her adherence. I know exactly her virus. I have been talking with her doctor and herself. So that is a little bit a different situation than having sex with a partner who just tells me I'm suppressed. So I think it would be smart to restrict these unprotected intercourses to couples where the partners know each other very well. I think that's important.
The opinions expressed by hosts or interviewees in this podcast do not constitute professional advice, should not be considered substitutes for professional services, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of Body Health Resources Corporation or its sponsors. Please see the full disclaimer online at thebodypro.com. If you have comments or questions, please contact us.
This has been a report on IAS 2007 from The Body Pro. For more podcasts and full coverage of this conference, visit us online at thebodypro.com/IAS2007.